Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and the upcoming schedule. Now here's Paul Jay, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Time of the morning, 8:39. Paul Jay, Chris, and Bob talking Bronco football, which we like to do, especially when Boise State, 7-0 after their win late Thursday night against BYU, a game in which if somebody had told you or I that the Broncos would have five turnovers and, you know, many mistakes, fumbled punts, all kinds of stuff, that they had no chance to win.
Well, I would have thought result would have been exactly like Utah State last year.
No
they had
question.
Eight turnovers, but they got a few back. This one was 5-0. If you told me that would happen, I would have said probably a 45-10 loss to BYU. But then when you look at the statistics and the offensive numbers, if you gave me just those, I would have said Boise State wins 45-10.
45-10, yeah, exactly.
And I think what that shows me is this team was good enough to overcome five turnovers. You don't want to do it every week.
Nope.
But they were good enough to do it, and I think that if this
way
team,
better than BYU.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And biggest thing is I think the quarterback play was significantly better. Taysom Hill did a few good things like running the football, but he had all kinds of trouble throwing the football. And I do think BYU missed Williams.
No question.
I think he's much better than Canada.
Yeah, so. No question about that.
But when you look at some of the other teams, I'll make the comment, and then there were nine. There are now nine unbeaten teams instead of 11. Ohio State had a few issues on their special teams. Sometimes it's good
it's
just
funny.
To survive
this
in advance.
This is the year of special team mistakes. It's amazing.
And when you look at the schedule coming up this week, I think Boise State might have its biggest challenge of the regular season, going to Wyoming, a team that's better.
Yep.
This is basically for the division.
Yep.
If you lose to Wyoming, they're going to have to lose twice to get you to the championship game.
And likewise, if you win,
you're going to have
deal.
To lose twice.
Yeah.
So I think that this one is the game of the season for Boise State. Both of them are 3-0 coming in. And I look at all the other unbeaten teams out there, and I'm not talking about for the New Year's Six spot. I'm talking about just the unbeaten teams for the top 10.
Right.
Every single team that's playing this week is on the road and against somebody that could beat them.
Yeah, including Boise State. Hmm. Three undefeated teams in the conference in conference play. San Diego State, of course, on the western side, and then in the mountains, the two teams that will meet at 5 o'clock in Laramie.
And New Mexico is still in there. They're 2-1. They've won three games since they've played Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at the west side and think that how does San Diego State not win it?
Oh, it would have to be monumental collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about Hawaii? Where do they play Hawaii, or have they played them?
They have not played Hawaii yet, I do not believe.
Hawaii's been playing fairly well. They surprised me.
They go to San Diego on November the 5th.
Well, they beat Air Force in Colorado Springs.
That shocked me.
Me too. That was the biggest thing that shocked me that happened over the weekend. And they led the whole game. Unbelievable. But Boise State, and another terrific effort, and the Broncos really with four stars on offense now.
If you've got Spurbeck and Wilson catching the ball,
right.
You've got McNichols running and catching the ball,
yeah.
And you've got Rippon, that's a lot of weapons to try to control. Wyoming is better. Josh Allen gives them significantly better quarterback play than they've had in the past. Brian Hill is a really, really good running back.
Yes.
They do not have a receiver, in my opinion, that comes close to either of Boise State's two receivers. And their defense, I think, is solid, but not spectacular.
Yeah, I think if they do have a problem, it's on defense. They give up a lot of points. They give up a lot of yards. But Laramie's not an easy place to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high altitude. It's tough to get to.
Yeah, I mean, at least with the charter, it's not as difficult to get to it as for anybody going commercial where
they
you got to fly.
They don't land in Laramie, though, right?
Well, they can, and they have, but they're staying in Cheyenne.
Cheyenne,
sometimes you drive from the hour or whatever it is across.
Yeah.
So No, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a game they're going to have to earn. I think, to me, I kind of have the feel coming into it that it's going to be like the New Mexico game before the game, that I thought it was going to be a challenge. There are things they do well.
Yep.
You're on the road. It's somebody in the division that thinks they have a shot to win. They say it's the biggest game to be played in Laramie in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more. So I think it's going to be a challenge, but I can also see Boise State winning handily as well if they get everything put together.
All they have to do is play well, not turn the ball over. And they played well when they didn't turn the ball. KBOI High News Time, 844. All right, we are back. Let's go over this. An odd starting time for a game, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock. It'll be on the CBS Sports Network. Of course, you can also hear it right here.
Absolutely.
Network pregame begins at 4, and noon is the start time for the game day coverage on KBOI. Coach's show will be Thursday night at 7. You can hear Coach Harson, a couple players, an assistant coach. A couple other things I want to mention coming up tomorrow. We're going to have the cross-country team in here.
Nice.
They're hosting the Mountain West Championship Friday morning out at Falcon Crest Golf Club out in CUNA. I think they got a good chance to do very well, maybe even win it. Brenna Pelequin, probably the favorite on the women's side.
Yep.
And volleyball, 6 matches in a row they've won, all by sweeps.
Sweeps,
including
that's
previously
amazing.
Including previous first place UNLV Saturday. I went to the match. Total domination. They'll go on the road to face Nevada and San Diego State this week. They are a game back. Colorado State with 1 loss. UNLV and Boise State with 2 losses in the conference.
It's incredible. And soccer won their match, qualified for the season-ending tournament. So things are looking good in the Olympic sports for Boise State, as well as football, where they're 7-0. Good stuff. All right, we'll see you tomorrow with cross country. Remember that 5 o'clock start. That's an unusual starting time for Boise State. Any time but 8:50 is an unusual starting time. It's 8:56, Idaho Talk Live, coming up after a news break at the top of the hour. Thanks to Bob Beeler, and we'll be back.
You're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris. An interesting local story which has caught our attention, and you know, we preface it with the fact that the story came from a person involved in the story. Go ahead and explain to the folks. The lady's name is Sarah Frank.
Yeah, and she sent us an email that said, here's the headline, is Idaho mom charged with injury to a child for using marijuana-infused butter to stop her daughter's seizures. And you know the story about how, apparently in Colorado, they believe they have proven that you can either stop or at least greatly reduce childhood seizures from kids who have those by using products not with THC, but with something else, you know, in cannabis.
Right.
That works as medicine. Now, Kelsey Osborne, a 23-year-old mother of 2, is a native of Hazleton, down by Twin Falls. However, she currently resides in Gooding, also down by Twin Falls.
Right.
On October 5th, it says here, she was faced with the decision of helping her daughter by using what she believed would work, medical marijuana, or complying with state law and watching her daughter suffer seizures and hallucinations for hours. So these were bad seizures.
Right.
Now, she apparently gave her daughter some marijuana-infused butter, like maybe on a piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And she has now been charged with a misdemeanor injury to a child by the Twin Falls Police Department and has been summoned by Jerome County Court at the request of Idaho Department of Health and Welfare to appear before Judge Thomas Borison. The only problem I have with this is that if she, in fact, lives in Gooding, I'm not sure why she was arrested by the Twin Falls police and then has to go to court in Jerome County, because those are 3 different counties.
Yes, they are.
But on November 9th, according to Sarah Frank, a hearing is scheduled for Judge Thomas Borison, to determine whether or not Kelsey's 2 children, Madison, who is 3 years old, and Riker, who is 2, have been abused or neglected by her decision to use the marijuana butter and are within jurisdiction under the Idaho Child Protection Act.
Now,
so
it's
kind of interesting. The interesting part of this, I guess, is that she was doing this to try to help her child, and now she's accused of felony injury to a child.
Yeah, and we must say that the butter apparently worked and helped stop or lessen her, mm-hmm. her daughter's seizures and hallucinations.
Yeah.
So.
But, again, it's not yet approved by the FDA.
Correct.
And so it can't be sold legally, for instance, in Idaho, as you know, even by a pharmacy.
Yeah, so it's...
It can't be prescribed by a doctor here either.
No, and it's pretty interesting the way this all turns out. And One of the things from Sarah Frank, she has written a blog, mm-hmm. On what's called 420mommyblogspot.com.
Yeah.
And
she's from Boise.
She's from Boise, and there's a picture of her.
I can read you a little bit of this blog.
Yeah.
It says, I remember the first time I saw a child exposed to marijuana. And this, again, is Sarah Frank. I was in the first year of my cannabis journey, finding medical benefits for my chronic painful bladder condition through frequent use of an illegal drug. I was just meeting other cannabis consumers in my hometown of Boise, Idaho, and had never really interacted with pot smokers other than as a teenager. I had already started researching the history, science, and politics surrounding marijuana, although I had not yet encountered information on the toxicity of the drug or its impact on children.
And this is one of the things, one of the reasons this woman was arrested, because they really don't know what impact, mm-hmm. the drug has on children.
Well, and part of that is because for the last, you know, 50 or 60 years, you haven't been able to test marijuana in labs because no one was really given the right to grow it and test it, because
exactly.
that was illegal all by itself.
Right.
Now, she goes on, I remember how I felt watching my new friend's child crawl into his father's lap while his father was smoking a joint. His father just let him climb right up, unconcerned that he was smoking marijuana at the time. I remember the feeling of disapproval I felt toward the father that would allow his son to be around what I still believe to be a potentially dangerous drug, especially to children. That was over 10 years ago, and now after a decade of research on cannabis, thinking back on that moment, I feel like a fool. Between the 10,000-year history of mankind's relationship to this plant, with absolutely zero recorded instances of fatality or any kind of toxic effect caused by cannabis, and the DEA administrative court ruling that finds the toxicity of marijuana is so low that it is physically impossible to consume enough marijuana to induce death. Plus the largest study of its kind done on the effects of cannabis smoke and the lungs, resulting in no cancer connection and potential protective benefit, as well as the most in-depth study ever done on cannabis and pregnancy, breastfeeding, and developing children, concluding that not only is marijuana not harmful and does not have any sort of negative impact on a developing mind, but also that the children of cannabis-using mothers are more advanced than the children of non-cannabis-using mothers.
All right. Now,
I'm not sure if A follows or A comes before B on that one.
Yeah, here's where I have a problem with her blog.
Okay.
Because I've known frequent marijuana users, seen the changes in personality, mm-hmm. You know, over the years. There's an instance in my family end up well
due to
marijuana use.
Here's the deal I've noticed in people like that. You know, it's like when they're growing up, they say, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to conquer this job and I want to have this career and I want to go to Europe and travel. And then they start smoking marijuana. It's like, what do you want to do now? Ah, nothing. Maybe just, you know, like watch TV or something.
Just hang out.
And that's it. That's it for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's cheaper, but... it doesn't seem like it really gives you that many good experiences.
Yeah, and they say, don't forget the pressure from CNN medical correspondent Sanjay Gupta, who you hear on our air all the time, on mm-hmm. the public and medical professions to do research into the safety and medical benefits of cannabis
and
make it available.
That just seems, it just seems smart to do research on the medical benefits of practically any you know, plant.
The use of cannabis oils in Colorado neonatal care for epileptic infants, the U.S. government patent, they give the number, mm-hmm. on the neuroprotectant properties of cannabis, the history that shows cannabis prohibition is based on racism, that's a reach, and corporate interests, that's not a reach, and not public safety or real science, and so much more.
Now, the corporate interests, we've talked about that, that not cannabis, but, you know, the plant. Hemp.
Hemp.
Okay, hemp.
Yeah, it's illegal to grow hemp in a lot
hemp
of places.
Yeah, hemp was being grown as a way to make paper. You could make paper out of hemp.
Correct, and rope.
And people that had interests in timber and things like that for making paper, you know, bought time in the Hearst papers and said, you know, this is a bad thing to do, and we need to get rid of it. But also, in like the 30s and 40s, there were a lot of Mexicans and black people who were smoking reefer, they called it, you know, like that, remember the movie Reefer Madness that came out in the 30s.
Play it faster.
And back in those days, they used to get on the radio and say, well, you know, this is just a way to bring the white man down to the level of the minority. You know, which was extremely racist, but they use that as an example. You know, don't do what these people are doing.
Right. And then the blog kind of deteriorates into a commercial for marijuana from this point on. But an interesting story. And if, you know, you have so many rules and regulations, if the use of marijuana could help or would help, you know, the child not have epileptic seizures, et cetera, should the use at least be considered?
Well, the FDA tends to move slowly, and that's both a good and a bad thing. If you have a miracle drug, it's going to take years for it to come out. And if somebody's jumping the gun and saying something's good when it's not, that's the good part. It'll still take years to figure that out.
True. KBOI News Time, 9:16. KBOI rewards code JOINT, J-O-I-N-T. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter JOINT, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
You know, like your knee, your elbow, that's
yeah, that kind of joint.
Exactly.
We were listening to you doing that commercial about your wife's joint.
Well, yeah.
That she was smoking on the front porch.
It was her right knee.
Her right knee, yeah. Exactly.
Which is really great, by the way.
Go to 670KBOI.com, enter JOINT, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Perfect. Got some instant messages about the subject, talking, of course, about this woman in Gooding who has been charged with injury to a child because she fed her daughter some marijuana-induced butter to try to control her seizures. HG of McCall says, not only a child climbing into the lap of a grass smoker, how about climbing into the lap of a cigarette smoker?
Exactly.
Also, there are a lot of drugs legal given to children nowadays, like for ADD, et cetera, that adversely affect their growing up. I'm not a fan of legalizing marijuana, but I'm also not a fan of so many legal drugs being given to children so often where other therapies might be just as good.
You know, I agree with them. I think that we are an over-medicated society.
Over-prescribed?
Yeah.
Bill of Boise says, my niece had epilepsy and ran the whole gauntlet from all kinds of drugs that left her unresponsive and had all kinds of nasty side effects to the surgeon who wanted to remove a part of her brain.
Mm-hmm.
She was ultimately cured by nothing more than a diet. She is now cured from absolutely nothing but a certain diet. Pot affects some people differently than others. It's no different than alcohol affects. Some people can drink like a fish and be just fine. Some have one beer and act like a fool. It's not a one-size-fits-all sort of a deal. I haven't known that many people who could drink all they wanted and be just fine.
Yeah. Well, I have known people who drank all they wanted.
I've known people who drank all they wanted and then thought they were just fine.
Yeah.
And then Matt says, why doesn't she start a religious church where the beliefs of benefits are a focal point? Wouldn't this fall under the Idaho statutes for religious beliefs and the welfare of their children? Like Rastafarians, for instance, smoking marijuana is part of their religion.
Right.
Or so they
say. Well, maybe she should join the Rastafarian church.
Well, I doubt she'll find one in Gooding.
Probably not. I worked in Gooding one summer.
Yeah, I think my dad lived there when he was in eighth.
Summer of my life.
My dad lived there when he was in eighth grade because my grandfather got a contract to farm over there.
So, what do you think? What do you think about this whole thing? It's not an easy answer.
I feel bad. If I had a child who had terrible seizures and hallucinations and things like that, I guess I would go to the ends of the earth to try to find a cure.
Bingo.
And would do just about anything that was possible. Now, chances are this woman cannot afford to move to Colorado or Washington where marijuana is legal. Mm. Now, even there, you can't give it to a child legally, but people do because of the effect that it has on seizures.
Now, this is not straight marijuana that she was taking.
Right.
It was medical marijuana,
which
had the HTC or whatever removed.
The THC is exactly. Yeah. That's the stuff that makes you goofy. But I don't know. I suppose I would do that, but that's been a problem for years that somebody comes up with what they consider to be a miracle drug, mm-hmm. and you really have to have it tested for a long period of time before it ever hits the market.
Yeah, because a miracle drug sometimes down the road, not such a miraculous thing.
And, of course, there are politics involved in that sort of thing, too, especially with
and
money.
Laws.
Where there are pharmaceutical companies that said, well, we sunk all of our money into this particular drug, and if this comes out, this other thing, then we'll lose money. So that can't happen, even though it would probably cure some diseases and save lives.
So now you're talking politics.
Well, that's...
But you're talking...
Politics slash money, which...
You're talking reality, though.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the real world, and that's what happens.
Not a lot of difference between the two anyway.
That's true. KBOI News Time, 9:26. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. All right, we are back, Paul J. and Chris. We'd like to thank Bob and them for hanging on, and we'll get to him now on the KBOI Live Line. Bob, good morning.
Morning, guys. I was kind of skeptical about this marijuana thing when it first started becoming, noted. And I had some good friends whose son, he was, I think, about 19 or 20 at the time, came down with a type of leukemia that was commonly... kids that were 2-3 years old. He was the oldest case that people had missed he'd ever seen with this particular type.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he went through all the chemo and what have you, and the poor kids were just a walking skeleton. They tried all the pharmaceutical stuff, and it just wasn't working. And his mom took a big chance because if she'd have got caught, she'd have lost a very good job, a bad job as well. She'd come up with some marijuana somewhere, made some of this marijuana butter you're talking about. In probably 2-3 months, the kid looked a lot better. And I'm very confident he wouldn't be alive today if she hadn't done that, because I watched this as it took place. And so there's something to it.
So how did it end up? Did he beat the leukemia?
Yeah, I think it's in remission. I don't know if you ever told him
to beat it, but
it's in remission, and he's living over in Oregon someplace, as I understand it, because of the legality of the marijuana over there.
Yeah.
And, it's something he'll fight for as long as he lives.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, that was probably 3 or 4 years ago that took place. And I'm real confident that he wouldn't be alive today if they hadn't done that. So.
Yeah. I know they use marijuana for glaucoma, too, in adults. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, they tried the pharmaceutical, I don't know what it is, where it's supposedly the active ingredient out of the marijuana in a pill form, and it just didn't work.
Didn't work, huh? So
didn't work. So, yeah. I don't know. There's something to it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Bob.
You guys have a good day.
Hey, you too.
You too. One of the things, the kid was 19 years old, so mm-hmm. legally an adult.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Well, also, I've never heard of marijuana actually reducing the symptoms of leukemia or other cancers, but people generally use it after they've had chemotherapy. After chemotherapy, which kills a lot of cells in your body, people tend to be sick and throw up and nauseated for a long period of time. And apparently, smoking it actually apparently helps reduce that.
Yeah.
But I haven't ever heard of it actually, either curing or just reducing the symptoms any kind of cancer or leukemia.
No. Me neither.
Although I can't tell you that it doesn't.
It's used to it's used to treat symptoms, not cure anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Bob, for that call. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard stories like that before, so I have no doubt that it's probably true. All right. Story that you told me about earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The merger of a couple of rather large
companies. Very large. AT&T is probably going to be purchasing Time Warner.
Right.
And
I have killed my story. I put that call screener up on top of my story. I'll get it back in a minute. But anyway, a lot of people think that this merger will set off a series of like mergers of an epidemic proportion. Unbelievable stuff. Harry Potter, Anthony Bourdain, Superman, Bill Simmons, and Charles Barkley are all going to work for a phone company.
Oh, good point.
AT&T's planned $85.4 billion acquisition of Time Warner, the New York-based company that owns HBO, CNN, TNT, Warner Brothers, et cetera, is a huge domino falling in the content business. The deal, which comes with the requisite promises of innovation and cost savings, will make competitors in the internet and media businesses uneasy. Now, in these kind of mergers before, we've always heard the innovation, and we've always heard the cost savings,
right?
Which never really seemed to materialize, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time there was a major
whenever there's a merger
that saved you money?
True. Whenever there's a merger, it seems that there's more of a monopoly, not a complete monopoly, but more of a monopoly and less competition out there, and so prices don't really have any impetus to reduce.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there was one phone company. I mean, it was AT&T or Bell?
Well, it was Bell. It was Bell. The Bell system.
Yeah, Bell. Yeah. The Bell system, which...
called it Ma Bell.
Ma Bell. and prices were cheap. Your phone was like $9 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And there was none of these charges that we have today for existing. I mean, granted, the phones today are basically handheld computers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the prices, they said it was a monopoly, and they broke it up, and it went 100 different ways. And within 6 months, prices started to rise dramatically. And, now people don't think anything is spending $200, $250 a month on phones.
AT&T bought DirecTV recently, so it's like they have satellite television. Now they want to get Time Warner, take over movies and stuff. So yeah, it's just huge monopoly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Cable network operators that could be potential takeover targets, to name a few, include AMC Networks, best known for its top-rated TV show, The Walking Dead, but which also owns, and like Todd says, you don't put it together right away what these companies own. They also own the Discovery Channel, the Learning Channel, and Animal Planet, among other things. The acquisition, which marries partners in distribution and content, will trigger multiple layers of complexity for customers, industry regulators, investors, and consumer watchdogs as they try to sort out revenue possibilities along with conflicts of interest. Competitors of Time Warner or AT&T can no longer just stand by and complain about it. They're going to have to get aggressive. Time Warner's chairman and CEO Jeff Bukes said as much, saying the deal was partly to get ahead of the competitors. You're going to see all kinds of distributors following, he said in a press conference Saturday night. You're going to see kind of a revolution in the TV world, which makes me uneasy. Revolution in the TV world to me means, well, your prices are going up.
Yeah, good point. That's generally what it does mean.
Telecom providers have been shopping for content companies as their wireless smartphones and broadband internet service markets mature and grow slow. In other words, everybody has a smartphone now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like me don't necessarily, I mean, if your phone works and you have no problems with it, I don't always jump to the next phone. As upside from data usage seems to be increasingly capped, USA Today says we would not be surprised if other distributors were to potentially embrace larger opportunities in the content arena over time. That sounds expensive.
Yes, it does.
Sounds expensive.
The way that's worded, it certainly does.
Ownership of Time Warner's content, which includes Harry Potter movies, CNN, NBA basketball on TNT, Major League Baseball on TBS, HBO's critically acclaimed shows. I love Westworld, by the way.
Yeah, you were just telling me about that.
And DC Entertainment Films, whose franchises include Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, all guarantee that AT&T can readily make those programs available on its DirecTV satellite TV service without cumbersome negotiation. Why negotiate? You own it.
Mm-hmm.
AT&T can also stream these shows to its net-delivered and wireless DirecTV-branded streaming services, which are now in the works, which will be cool because you can watch anywhere at any time, whatever, which you can actually do now.
Right.
But they say they'll even waive monthly data limits for AT&T smartphones so you can watch more stuff that they own. KBOI News Time. Amazing. 9:46.
Got an anonymous quote for you.
An anonymous quote.
About the AT&T Time Warner merger.
Yeah, which is coming up, folks.
It says AT&T is buying Time Warner. They reportedly hope to create a new super company combining AT&T's legendary price gouging and abysmal customer service with Time Warner's constant outages and relentless hidden fees.
Nice.
Well, can't wait for that.
One thing that I wonder, and I was talking with Todd about this, does this mean that, I mean, if they own DirecTV and AT&T, does that mean eventually to have DirecTV, you're going to have AT&T?
I don't think so. They're already, since they purchased them, several months ago. And
right.
Since then, I mean, the biggest change I noticed is on DirecTV that the logo changed to AT&T and DirecTV instead of just a straight DirecTV logo. You know, the one that bounces around when
right.
when your screen is dark.
Well, here's my question for you, Paul J.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you think AT&T is going to say no to $100 a month from those customers that aren't AT&T? No, they're going to take the money
that's,
and run.
That's a good point.
Good point, yeah.
That is a good point. You're right. Well, I think you're right. I don't know Jack. With more consumers.
Jack Warner? I don't know him either.
With more consumers streaming on their mobile devices. Now, I know you do this constantly.
Right.
I do it, too. I mean, Saturday.
Yes.
I mean, I had the Cubs game on the TV. In a football game on my big computer and a football game on my iPad.
And
that's just what you do anymore. You can't watch one thing. It's stupid. Yeah. It's like watching TV without stuff streaming. Look at the TVs. Everything's got stuff streaming, so you only watch a picture half the time.
And I've talked about this on the air before. I have issues with my eyesight.
Yes.
And it's been rapidly deteriorating for the past couple of years and continues to do so. But I mean, and for that reason, I really enjoy watching ball games on my iPad because I can put it right in front of my face.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal. You're watching what you can see.
Yeah.
And you said it doesn't matter how big the screen is.
Yeah.
If you're a distance away from it, you can't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is true.
Well, because I've been over at Big Al's, you know, where their screen is enormous and stats come up on the screen and I can't read the stats.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Need to get something done. Head transplant.
I'd take it.
Oh, got a phone call.
We could do that.
Let me see. I get to my call screener here. David Boise. David, good morning.
Hello.
Hi there.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
What's up?
Hey, touching along the lines of what you're just talking about of all the different devices that you can watch on. And the problem that we have is it's eventually all going to go over to where your only choice to watch TV is to pay for it. And
that's a good point.
And I'm recently diagnosed with cancer, so I can't afford all of the wireless stuff. And you look at what's happened with college football playoffs. that's all gone on to pay for television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It used to be you could watch baseball playoffs mm-hmm. on regular broadcast television this time of year. The only thing I'm going to be able to see is the World Series coming up on Fox.
Right. Because they moved a lot of things to TBS and ESPN and various other networks.
Yeah, Fox Sports One.
Right.
And you're right. You know, on Saturday, you can watch, I think CBS has a game, ABC has two games, and NBC at least used to have Notre Dame.
They typically carry the Notre Dame games. On their 7.2 channel, you can get the ACC network.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you have to be creative, but mm-hmm. you can get – but right. you only get like half a dozen games where everybody else is watching.
And the other thing on top of that, too, is that not only are you paying for it for the service,
yeah.
but then they're also collecting money from the advertisers. And I thought that's what was supposed to provide television for all.
Exactly right. I've talked about that for years.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Good stuff, David. Thank you. We're out of time.
Appreciate the call. I wanted to tell you.
That's awesome.
My dad was reading Popular Mechanics, and he found a pattern for building his own antenna. And he did. He built it out of materials he had at home. And they don't have cable anymore, but they do get about 30 channels.
Yeah, I got one of those things. Looks like a notebook.
Yep.
And I get, like, the same amount. It's 9:55. Something to think about with Mike Rogers up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
An American military service member was killed by an IED in Mosul, Iraq last week. That's unfortunate. We haven't heard anything about it from the candidates, only that we don't have boots on the ground in Iraq. Mosul is Iraq's second largest city, and retaking it will be critical to defeating ISIS and taking away their caliphate. In the Mosul operation, American troops are playing a critical role, as they should, providing advice, intelligence, and targeting. And there are reports of American Apache attack helicopters around Mosul as well. The death of this U.S. service member highlights an important fact missing from the public debate. The United States military is deeply involved in the Mosul operation and in the larger war against ISIS. To suggest these ground troops are not involved in combat is disingenuous. These type of rhetorical games get people killed. And we've seen it before. Remember Black Hawk Down in Somalia. America and our military families deserve better. Ladies and gentlemen, we have troops in contact. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.